That was messed up.
Isn't it the best thing you've ever
seen? It is pretty great.
Hold on, let's see if it loads correctly. Yeah, make sure this is turned down.
What is this?
Oh, you don't want to look.
Are we going to a hanging?
Oh, wait, no, it's a poning. It's an owning. Oh.
Ow! There we go.
Oh.
In your face. Did you watch? I told you not to watch.
Oh, Tim.
I can't help it. I'm a newsman.
I'm not all about the killing, but that's a pretty fantastic video.
Because he has
that guy has it coming.
He has it coming. All right, there you go. You go to rickemerson.com. It is now posted. It is now posted. You can go. It's from George in Wilsonville. It is today's blog entry and so forth. Yes. It's a kid who opens his car door trying to hit a bicyclist, and then God just sends a truck along to do what needs to be done. Excellent. Well done. Where is your God now? Ladies and gentlemen, here is your God now.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, here we are, back live.
I sound awful loud for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's because you sounded quiet earlier. First it was cold, then it was hot.
It sounds like my processing is off, but who am I to complain? There are those who have none.
It'll all be a moot point soon.
I suppose so. Well, we have so many things here to cover, so let's cover what's most current. First of all, everybody knows that President Gerald Ford, who everyone forgot till a couple of days ago,
thought he was already dead.
Well, you know, the reason why nobody has remembered him was, well, he never did anything wrong.
No, all he did was fall. That was his thing. Yep. And I think he only ever did that like once.
That's all it took.
Really? That just became his deal. The only thing he ever did wrong is to pardon Richard Nixon. But what are you going to do? Everybody gets one. What are you going to do?
So let's bring Tom Brokaw to the funeral, because he's always the best part when he talks about old people. He does it well. He says President Ford had a lighter side of himself. Number one.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Can you turn my computer back up?
One of our colleagues, Jim Norton of the New York Times, personified the spirit that existed in the relationship. He bought from a San Diego radio station promoter a large mock chicken head that had attracted the president's attention at a GOP rally.
What is he talking about? Jesus Christ.
They brought this chicken head to Oregon. There's a local connection, otherwise he wouldn't be doing the story.
I don't know what we're talking about. What do you mean?
He had a chicken head.
Who?
President Ford. He bought a chicken head. It was given to him. A chicken head.
A large mock chicken head.
Yes.
That was Gerald Ford's.
Right. It was given to President Ford.
Okay.
And he was on a campaign tour to Oregon. And he was bringing the chicken head with him to Oregon. In the meantime, Dick Cheney... Yes, the same Dick Cheney...
I don't understand
it. Who is on his staff... encourage bad behavior using the chicken head in Oregon.
Norton decided to wear that chicken head to a Ford News conference in Oregon with the enthusiastic encouragement of the president and his chief of staff, Dick Cheney.
So,
am I on drugs?
We're trying to show the lighter side of this funeral.
I understand that, and that's an admirable effort. What I'm saying is...
We don't want tears at this funeral. We want to talk about chicken heads and Oregon.
Okay. Let's just pretend, though, for the moment. Let's just...
Should this be a Q&A type of thing? Shall we start with... We've been gone for a while, so perhaps the order that we do things is a little bit off.
No, I'm just saying...
Are we having problems grasping the nature of this story?
Yes. I'm just saying, let's pretend for just a moment...
Okay.
...that you don't have any context, or that people don't know what we're talking about, and you just hear this soundbite.
Norton decided to wear that chicken head... to a Ford News conference in Oregon with the enthusiastic encouragement of the president and his chief of staff, Dick Cheney.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Picture a church full of crying people. What do you talk about to lift their spirits?
Someone wearing a chicken head because Dick Cheney, but yet this was 30 years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move forward.
So anyway, he wears a chicken head to Oregon. And then what happens?
I honestly don't know.
We'll find out.
In the next news cycle, the chicken head was a bigger story than the president. And no one was more pleased than the man that we honor here today in this august ceremony.
All right, so enough of the chicken head. Let's get serious. Let's get serious for the moment. Let's bring in somebody very serious to make it that way.
Gerald Ford, prudence and common sense. Kept ethnic conflicts in Cyprus and Lebanon from spiraling into regional war. He presided over the final agony of Indochina with dignity and wisdom.
It's like you can hear pieces of his throat coming off as he speaks.
Meanwhile, back to the old chicken head story.
Even when we challenge his policies and tax his patience with our constant presence and persistence
and drunkenness,
we could be adversaries, but we were never his enemy. And that was a welcome change in status from his predecessor's time.
All it took was the chicken head.
Okay.
To make the country feel a little bit better.
The answer lies in chicken heads, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God. All right. Well, there you go. Later on, like 1 o'clock or something, Dick Iuliano will be talking to us about the chicken head in Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford is just one of those guys, man. He really is an accidental president. He was never elected to anything.
No.
He wasn't
scandalous?
No, he
never rubbed anybody the wrong way.
Well, that's why. I mean, that's why he probably never became president or vice president, because he clearly was not an evil, scurrilous person, which is obviously what it takes to become president, especially in the era of Nixon. I'm assuming we don't have Lisa Goddard today, because I wanted to ask her about this quote that Gerald Ford is always rumored to have said, this thing he's rumored to have said over and over and over again.
About the chicken head.
About the chicken head. Gerald Ford is rumored to have once confided to a friend, "I know I will go to hell because I pardoned Richard Nixon." And I want to know if that's true or not, if anybody knows if that's true or not. But
I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
personally.
For now, we'll...
not decided to wear that chicken head.
Anyway, so there you go. That's it. Gerald Ford. Are we going to do a recap of people who are dead?
I guess so.
Should we play a snuff watch theme?
This is the snuff watch to the Saddam watch.
Here's... Oh, I know. We have to retire a watch, which is a first.
Oh. Stop.
No, we should play the whole thing. Well, I mean, in a little bit.
Whatever people want.
Is this? Are we?
But
do we have
we're retiring.
Do we have Saddam
watch. It's so
here?
Good.
We do. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll never speak of him again.
For the last time, let's say goodbye.
Time to say goodbye.
To the Saddam watch.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try.
I'm gonna miss this. I really am.
Try as I might.
So, the Iraqi government is launching an investigation into unofficial mobile phone video footage. We know it's official. Showing the execution of Saddam. British Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott said the circumstances of the execution are deplorable.
I don't think one can endorse in any way that, whatever your views about capital punishment, frankly, to get the kind of recorded messages coming out is totally unacceptable. And I think whoever's involved and responsible for it should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, seriously. I mean, that's... I like how somehow there is, it's the video footage they're upset about, not the fact that it looks like he was just hung by a bunch of guys from a truck stop somewhere.
Well, I guess they wanted it in HD.
It really, that's the thing that makes it really disturbing, too, is that it's like obviously a bootleg, whatever. It's all kinds of creepy.
Let's talk to Saddam's nurse. Yes, there is such a person. And she's an American nurse who cared for Saddam while he was in custody in Iraq. It is revealing what she says. Appearing on the Today Show, it's a male nurse? Apparently so. Robert Ellis says he wasn't surprised Saddam appeared calm. Well, he wasn't really calm.
At the end, he was calm.
At the very, very end.
At the very end,
At the end of the rope, he was very calm.
He was at peace a long time ago. His scoping skills were very good. Okay. I say he took everything in stride. Never complained.
At the end, he was very quiet and reserved.
He smoked cigars during his captivity and recalled happier times.
Fantastic.
Saddam refused to eat when his food was slid through a slot at the bottom of his cell door, insisting the door be open when people brought the food. He refused to be fed like a lion.
Okay. Well, whatever. You're dead. Last meals? If you had to go, your last meal. Sarah?
Macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What, Kraft macaroni and cheese?
Yes, but the really goopy, like, Velveeta kind.
Yeah, and Chicken McNuggets or chicken nuggets, like, from anywhere?
Chicken, like, the Schwan Man chicken nuggets.
Schwan Man.
Yeah, those are really good.
Tim Riley, last meal.
I would like pad thai and the wall of chocolate cake. from P.F. Chang's.
Fantastic. That is that. See, that's impressive for being, for its specificity. I'm saying for me, my last meal, I think I would quite like pizza from American Dream, which is here in Portland, and my mother's homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Oh.
That's what I'd like. And a glass of milk. And a large glass
of milk. I want a big glass of milk, too. Ice cold.
Totally,
yeah.
A pair of bunny slippers.
And also not to be hung. Let's see. This is Don. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Before you start talking about your lousy Christmas relationships, I got a story that will set the bar that no one else will top.
Okay.
Okay. This Christmas, my wife and I separated in September.
Uh-huh.
Really haven't seen a whole lot of each other since then, but she invited me over for Christmas Eve dinner with the family.
You're the worst.
We were exchanging gifts, and she gave me my divorce papers.
Oh!
Gift wrapped, man.
Gift wrapped in a box.
Dude, are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not, are you screwing with us? Are you making that up?
No, I'm not screwing with you.
I
pulled her aside afterwards, and I said, what the hell do you think you're doing? And she goes, she couldn't afford to have the lawyer serve them, and she was afraid to give them to me in person, so she had to do it when there was a crowd so I wouldn't get mad.
Oh,
my God.
Buy a stamp. That's my advice.
That's what I said. I said, next time, you know, buy a stamp or do something. She gave me this nice little gift box all wrapped up, and there were divorce papers in it.
Let me ask you this. Where were you when you opened the box?
I was sitting with my children exchanging gifts.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
No, but truly, it was the best present. I told her it was the best present I ever got for Christmas. Delivered kind of in a little haphazard way, but it was truly the best Christmas present I ever got.
Really, the opening in the presence of your children is the icing on the cake there. Let's see what Daddy has for Christmas.
And we have this thing where we sit around in a circle, and everybody opens their gifts separately and then passes it around to everybody admire and stuff like that. And, it was also, we've been married 30 years, and... So it was quite a shock.
Oh, what is Daddy getting? Oh, alimony and a lifetime of solitude.
I asked her, why could you just put it in an envelope instead of a box? I mean, and then my present to her was a digital camera, so I just took that with me and I have it.
Good for you. Fantastic. You should use that digital camera to take a picture of you having sex with her sister.
Oh, God, no.
Or maybe not.
No. That would, no. We wouldn't even want to think about that. That's not even.
I'm sorry.
No.
All right, well, happy holidays,
if
sir.
If anybody can top that, or your guys' stories can top that, I'll be happy to listen.
All right. Thank you, Don.
See you later.
Happy New Year. There you go. Jesus. That really is terrible. Normally when guys come to the, I got the story that's going to top everything, and it never does. That is pretty fantastic.
That was
going
to be hard to top.
That's like the guy. We did this show, I don't know, years ago. It was where I was on KFTK, though. And we talked about the worst Christmas present you ever received. And it's kind of one of those stock things that you do around the holidays sometimes. There's nothing else to talk about. You don't feel like working to come up with a topping. You're like, let's talk about the worst gift you ever got. And we don't do that kind of stuff a lot. But this guy called up with... And I don't do that topic anymore because a guy called in Portland with the worst ever, the worst. And it was like the third call out of the gate, ruined the whole topic because there was nowhere to go. Talking about the worst ever, and it wasn't, I'm sorry, in fact, it wasn't a guy, it was a woman who called up. A woman called up about the worst Christmas present she'd ever gotten, and her boyfriend had given her lingerie. Two things you need to know. A, used lingerie.
Oh.
And, no. And it gets so much worse. Used lingerie, and it had been his mother's.
Oh.
Bam.
Yeah. Boyfriend's like, here's some used lingerie that my mom used to wear. Would you put it on? So there, that's it. And I was like, topic over. Done. Nowhere to go. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Are we done with these snuff wine?
Well, I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it.
And here's the thing, and Nate Baker pointed this out to me last night. He was pointing, he was the one who reminded me. He's like, dude, you have to have a snuff watch for the Saddam watch. He's like, you are...
Which we did.
And we've never had to retire a watch before,
no.
I don't think.
I want to keep it around, though. I love the Sinanmar.
He's dead.
Yeah, really, what news could there possibly be from that guy? Unless he rises from the grave, World War Z style. I don't really know. It doesn't really seem
hard
like
to let go.
It is. Then that's not the first watch we created. That was
that's
the
what he said.
Somebody should you start working on your Saddam Hussein costume for Halloween right now, kids. Well, there you go. So the Rick Emerson Show bids a fond farewell to the Saddam Watch. There you go. He's a person who died. There's your snuff watch for the Saddam Watch on the Rick Emerson Show. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
While we're away, James Brown died, too.
Oh, I know James Brown died. Now, is James Garner dead?
No, I don't know who told you that, but I double-checked, and he's still alive.
Oh, sorry, James. So James Garner not dead, but
yes.
Yeah, James Brown's dead.
Oh, you kept
dead.
Saying that over and over again. I wasn't
I know, and I looked it up three times. I went to dead or alive a couple times just to make James Garner dead.
You can tell this is why I am not the news director, because I just blindly pass things. I got like one email from some guy, James Garner, who in retrospect probably meant James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, James Garner's dead. Me, James Garner is dead. And just passing it along. You know, the real misery of this is I wasn't here to play that James Brown is dead song, mm-hmm. which every idiot DJ on earth probably did. I was not able to. So, well, what could you do? All right.
The CW's hit reality show, Beauty and the Geek, returns tomorrow night. The series pairs eight gorgeous women with eight brilliant but socially challenged men and asks them to compete on various challenges. Host Mike Richards says, the real message of Beauty and the Geek is not to judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm.
By making them kind of live together and work together and have fun together, they become aware that, you know, there's a whole other group of people in this world that they've never really spent time with.
It's all about inner beauty. I've never seen that show.
Apparently it's new. The winning Beauty and the Geek team will win $250,000. It's a co-produced by Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
The 2-hour third season premiere. Oh, it's been on for three seasons. What do I know?
Well, never mind.
It airs tomorrow night at 8 on the CW.
Hey, but you know
Country
what?
And Western Network.
You know what starts tonight? You know what debuts tonight is Dirt with Courtney
Cox. Oh, yeah, there's
Cox.
A full page ad.
Oh, that looks that. Like it'll be good.
I am all over that. The early reviews have been sort of iffy, but Dirt premieres tonight on FX. It is stars Courtney Cox as a the editor, I believe, or reporter for a for an Inquirer-esque tabloid, a gossip rag. So that's tonight on FX. And that is not a paid plug, but it just seems like FX is a great network. You really ought to be watching more stuff on there.
What else is on there?
The Shield, Nip Tuck. Mm. They had a great show called Lucky that unfortunately got canceled, but that's tonight. Everybody should be watching that. Here's Tim Riley.
It's one of those obscure television networks. I watched the Lifetime channel for the first time yesterday because they had Ugly Betty Marathon on.
Now, I've never seen that show. I know that there's a lot of buzz about it.
It's weird.
Is it?
But interesting.
Now, does it feel... And I, where's my ethnic handbook? Hold on. I want to make sure that I'm not... Hey, Sarah, did you read this? Did you send me an affirmation of having read this?
No.
Okay.
I did read it, though.
You gotta send me an email.
There's some more gold in that. You haven't used all the material.
And by gold, you mean the fact that all Italians belong to the mafia? Now, so I have to be very careful how I phrase this. That Ugly Betty show, now, does it seem foreign?
No, it is not. They are Americanized foreigners.
Okay, well, that's acceptable. That's fine.
Right.
That's okay. As long as they can act like Americans, it's okay with me.
They watch it. They even dress up for Halloween.
Is
the Halloween episode.
Now, is she really ugly, or is she...
Oh, yes.
So she's not like, she's not Hollywood ugly where they've stuck her in glasses or something?
No.
Is she a legitimately ugly girl?
Go ahead.
She
was in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and she was kind of...
Her lips are oversized. She wears 1950s style glasses. Perhaps without the glasses, she might look acceptable to some.
She might to the farsighted.
Yes.
She might perhaps if you were blind in one eye and had glaucoma in the other and had to survive on sense of touch. She's like that girl who played Anne on Arrested Development, who I guess is not like hideously unattractive, but I mean who is sort of legitimately plain. All I know about Ugly Betty, Salma Hayek's on there occasionally, isn't she?
I believe so, yes.
See, that's almost motivation enough to get me to watch it. It's on the Lifetime channel.
All right. Okay.
Hey, let me just tell you this. I saw the best movie last night, and a movie you really ought to see, Tim Riley.
Oh,
I saw The Good Shepherd. with Matt Damon.
Uh-huh.
That movie is fantastic. You really ought to see that because it's very much like The Godfather. It reminds me a lot of The Godfather, but sort of a governmental version of The Godfather. It is a fictionalized history of the creation of the CIA
mm-hmm.
from like 1940, it goes up until the Bay of Pigs,
uh-huh.
and it tracks the government's need and desire to create a central intelligence agency, and it does it by examining the life of one American agent through his career, and that is Matt Damon, and it's exceptional. It's Francis Ford Coppola is the producer. Robert De Niro directed it. It's not flawless, but it's really good. And I saw it at Cinetopia, which is the world's greatest theater.
I haven't been there yet.
Oh, man. Cinetopia is great because you go in and it's like the big-ass leather seats with like big things you can put your feet on, and then they'll bring you dinner and wine while you watch the movie.
Oh.
It's a little pricey. Tickets are two tickets are $20, but it's worth it. And it's a digital picture, digital sound. There's a wine bar. There's a coffee bar. And no children.
Oh, I like that. There were no children rule there?
There is one room that is for children, like an all-ages room, mm-hmm. But we are in a room they call it the living room. It's not a living room. It is a theater. It's just a really nice theater, but the nickname for it is the living room, and it is a no-children room, adults only. And again, you can have wine served to you there. They have snacky, like, popcorn and candy and crap, but they have, like, actual meals they will bring you. They have a great coffee bar, and just these really wide plush leather seats and then big leather, like hassocks that you can put your feet up on.
Oh, I like
that. It is the best. That's what's going to save movie theaters, is places like that. But it's called The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon. You really ought to check it out. Let's do one more here, and then we'll
break. You know what I saw on vacation in California? That's not even playing. Well, like at three theaters in the country, The Good German, the George Clooney movie.
Now, is that good?
You know, it was good, except for Tobey Maguire. They forgot to send him the memo that he's supposed to act like he's in the 1940s.
Oh, I see. So it's one of those...
Everyone else is great, except for Tobey Maguire.
And he's walking around like it's like going, hey, dude, like it's 2005.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good movie, and it's beautifully photo. It's going to it'll win an Oscar for photography anyway.
Now, is Clooney direct? Did he direct that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that guy's just on a roll. Whoever would have thought that just like some schlub from ER was going to end up being like an auteur in American cinema? I dig that guy. Man, with every passing year, I think George Clooney may, in fact, be the greatest man now alive. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anybody. I think Hefner ought to just will him the mansion. Right now, I think it ought to be in Hefner's will that when he snuffs it, that George Clooney takes over.
He does incredible period pieces. I mean, all the women in this look like 1940s, like, you know, the big hair and all the makeup.
And he's not, I mean, he does it with his style and restraint. He doesn't overdo it. He sort of makes message films, but they don't seem to be heavy-handed.
Right.
And that's a guy, you know, the thing about George Clooney is, everybody does that Sinatra comparison to him, but it's true in the sense that it just doesn't appear to be any work for him. That guy, George Clooney is so stylish, but it just seems so effortless. It doesn't seem like he has to work it. Like, there are guys that try to do the really, really stylish thing, but it seems like they're trying way too hard. Like, it's contrivance. And with Clooney, it's like he's just this relaxed, cool guy that I desperately wish I could be.
He really knows how to use lighting and camera angles.
Yeah, and he's another guy, though, that's gotten the same group of people that he now kind of works with mm-hmm. over and over behind the camera. So, fantastic. Excellent. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back more of the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we'll talk about New Year's. Automotive disasters everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Dick Giuliano and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Salad State Radio. Rick Emerson Show, it's AM 970 Solid State Radio. We're back. It's January 2nd, 2007. Rick, this email says the girl from Ugly Betty isn't really that ugly, but they stick her in glasses and braces. You can see what she looks like here in some picture. Also, this is Todd the Corpse. I have a story to share. Like all holidays, I spent time in Kennewick with my wife's family. Like all trips to the Tri-Cities, I was armed with a CD full of Rick Emerson Show best ofs, because what in the world else would I listen to in Kennewick? I was listening to a show from around Christmas of 2004, and you had a story about Britney Spears divorcing from Jason Alexander after 55 hours. You went on a long rant about how, wait for it, There was nothing left for Britney to do to make herself any trashier or more self-destructive. Knowing what the next 2 years had in store for Britney, I smiled to myself as if remembering a great Christmas gift from years past. Thanks for the show. That's Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley.
Now, with that in mind, let's do a Britney watch the first of the new year.
Is your Britney watch first one for 2007?
I think I did it again.
And we had no idea that Scotty J would be gracing us with such a fantastic opener.
Genius. Well, the new year is not to a fresh start for Britney Spears. The pop princess was hired to host a New Year's Eve celebration at Caesars in Vegas. What was supposed to be a festive celebration to bring in the new year quickly turned sour when Spears allegedly fainted. The singer was immediately rushed off stage, according to several eyewitnesses. Las Vegas nightclub institution Robin Leach reports that Spears and her entourage of 27 were having dinner at the Social House Asian-themed restaurant in Treasure Island before her appearance at the event. She nibbled on Kobe beef burgers, lobster curry salad, and chicken fried rice before heading off to her hosting duties.
Kobe beef?
Yeah.
Really?
Kobe beef.
Okay.
Burgers. Kobe beef burgers. That is fun to say.
Really? Kobe beef is a funny phrase. So what? Okay.
Several... So she was hauled away. According to several gossip sites.
So there's several things of that story. A, Robin Leach, really?
Yeah.
He's, what is he, running Caesars or something? Why is he quoted?
Now he's called the Vegas Nightlife Institution now.
What does Robin Leach do now? Does any...
He doesn't have to do anything.
He just sits around and, I'm Robin Leach!
He does a bunch of shows on VH1, like the lifestyles of the rich and the famous, and they'll talk to, like, Paris Hilton and that stuff.
Is that a thing where he has sort of become himself the institution, where all he really... He's one of those guys... How do you become one of those guys where all you have to do is just... You're famous just because you're the guy?
Oh.
Like, Robin Leach is one of those guys where he's famous just because he's Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. See if you can finish this sentence, Tim Riley. This is Robin Leach wishing you...
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Well done. Fantastic, sir. And so Britney, was she fainted or she...
Well, she was hauled away.
Well, whatever.
There was another story that they put her on top of a serape, and they had somebody on every corner bringing her all back where she couldn't be seen.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Part two. Paris Hilton is now referring to Britney Spears as the animal... after being unceremoniously dumped by her former friend. According to reports in today's press, the socialite is fuming after the singer phoned her to break the news that she didn't want to be seen in public with her anymore. Spears has apparently realized that her constant parting with Hilton since her split from Kevin Federline in November has seriously damaged her already battered reputation.
Yeah.
Only yesterday, Britney was voted the worst celebrity role model in a poll, with Paris coming in second. Britney called Paris and said she has decided not to be seen in public with her, and said it's not personal.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I'm sure that Britney's on the comeback right now. Yep, no, it's absolutely.
That's your Britney watch for today.
There you go. There's your Britney watch for whatever the hell on the whatever the hell this is.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Fantastic. Excellent. There's your Britney watch. Here's Tim Riley.
George Michael is scheduled to appear in court January 11th on charges of being unfit to drive. We all know he's been arrested on several occasions.
How is it that, like, Saddam Hussein can be tried, found guilty, and executed in, like, a minute and a half, and George Michael has to be found slumped over behind a car 15 times before they look into whether or not he should be driving?
I don't think they have capital punishment in Britain.
No, I don't, but, I mean, really, it does seem like the wheels of justice are grinding a little too slowly over there.
He has already admitted in an interview that he is a terrible driver.
Yeah. Thanks. That's the interviews where they managed to find him, like, awake enough to be interviewed. So, goddamn. And didn't he play some, like, reunion thing with Andrew Ridgeley? Didn't he do...
Oh, yeah. I think they did it for one night only.
So, yeah, okay. Well, clearly, I mean, look, when Andrew Ridgeley is starting to look like the guy that you got to bet on to have the long, stable, prosperous life, something is really wrong.
So this comes to us from CBS News. A man who has a history of smashing windows to indulge in his fetish for female mannequins could draw a long prison term for his latest arrest. Ronald Dotson, who's 39, who lives in Detroit, faces up to life in prison if convicted of a charge of attempted break-in and entering of a cleaning supply store in the Detroit suburb of Ferndale. The potential life sentence is because prosecutors charge him as being a habitual offender. They say he has at least six convictions, a break in entering, and a stint in the state prison that lasted 13 years. Ferndale District Judge Joseph Longo ordered Dotson to stand trial following a preliminary examination on Thursday. The judge ordered him jailed unless he posts a $15,000 bond. Dotson was arrested October 9th after police say he smashed a window at a cleaning supply company to take a female mannequin dressed in a black and white French maid's uniform. He'd been out of prison for less than a week. He was arrested in Ferndale July 2000 and convicted of breaking and entering at a woman's clothing shop to get a mannequin in a pink dress with bobbed hair.
So he has a type, at least.
He does.
Like Ted Bundy. Does it say what he was doing with the mannequin? Does it say, that was he engaged in any sort of inappropriate activity? Or?
It does not, no.
Okay.
Ferndale police also arrested him in 1993 after finding him in an alley behind a woman's store with three lingerie-clad mannequins. He also has convictions similar to this in Detroit and suburban Oak Park.
Fantastic. Excellent. Oh, and I have this. Do I have you to thank for this?
Oh, right? Sure, yeah.
This is,
So I'm riding home on a train, just browsing through the personal ads and tearing them out on the MAX train going home.
This is for...
I think of work all the time.
Thank you. This is for the poor... Well, now, Tim and I, this is what Tim and I get each other for Christmas. We don't get each other like Hickory Farms, the gift packs, or, you know, like here's an egg beater or something. This is what I brought for Tim, this horrible home products catalog from Provo, Utah.
It's very nice indeed.
I don't even know what it's called.
How about dust your floors while you walk? No need to get on your hands and knees to scrub and drag out the broom with these slippers.
We know you're a fatty.
It's fun, fast, and may even help you burn some calories. These are trendy tartan uppers and mop-style soles.
So these are...
one size fits all.
These are slippers that help you mop the floor to your house. The best item, though, the reason I brought you this catalog, and again, this is a catalog that my in-laws in Provo, Utah subscribe to.
They know you took this?
No, they'll get another.
Yeah, there's like a whole spread on mops.
It really is like a Sky Mall for people in trailer parks. The thing is, they'll get like another one this week, probably. The best device in there is a little thing they just call the spare button. And what it is like if you become enough of a fat ass that you can no longer fasten your pants, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a thing that allows your pants to stay fastened. Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of a...
I had this idea once. Is it like a stretchy thing and then a button attached to it and then you
yeah,
attach it? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Darn it. Yeah. I was totally going to market that.
It is. Imagine, if you will, like if you were just to hold in your hand, like the top button to your pants, the big button at the top. If you were to hold that in your hand and then attach like a loop of elastic to it, that's what it is. And so the deal is, you put the elastic around your real top button, and then you can basically you can just be fat and continue to keep your pants up. But the best thing about it is the tagline that they use to sell the product. And the tagline that they use to sell that extra button, it just says in big letters, "Have that extra piece of pie." It says in,
"Come on, have that extra piece of pie.
Come on, fatty, eat up." So the entire time we were in Utah, Laura and I kept looking at each other going, "Have that extra piece of pie," and then giggling insanely. So that's what I brought to you for the new year, is this exciting catalog from Provo. And then Tim brought this to me. This is from the Portland Mercury. Is this from the I Saw You?
Yes, it's from I Saw You.
God, the I Saw You section is always really titillating, but just depressing.
This is even better than ever.
You know that, look, I would like to know if there's anybody ever that has actually hooked up with whoever it is they're referring to in the I Saw You section. That never works. It's just the saddest self-delusion.
They have a section once a year, like a couple times a year, of people who have met and got married.
But it's never from the I Saw You section.
I think so.
No, because think of the odds of that. Think of the odds. Have you ever placed an I Saw You ad?
As a joke.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw you on fire, rolling on the ground, screaming for help. I walked on by. Please call. I had red shoes.
I actually remember I wrote it for Nate a long time ago when we were friends, and I was like, yeah. Me, you know, you, 300-pound woman who watched Star Wars with me all day or something.
Yeah. So this is from the I Saw You section. Tim, because he's always thinking, cut this up and brought it in. The best thing is I like, and it's circled. It's circled in pen with a big arrow, and I love the idea of the people on the train seeing you circle this.
And not cutting it up, but tearing it up frantically.
Here's the ad.
And in the back is something even more salacious for people watching from behind me.
So let me describe this. So Tim hurriedly circled and then tore out a section of the I Saw You ads from the Portland Mercury. Sexy Christian bookstore employee is the headline. The Christian bookstore at Lloyd Center. We made eye contact behind the Bible shelf. Tell me, was it just me who felt the connection? You wore a hot sweater vest. I'm into you. See, the thing is, you know that has to be real, too. That can't be fake because... because unlike the whole, that doesn't even sound like a fake one that you would put to somebody you're already sort of with, like the Sarah Nate one. This is clearly one lame Christian trying to seduce another lame Christian via the I Saw You, sexy Christian bookstore employee. When? Thursday, November 30th. Where? Lloyd Center Christian Bookstore. You, man. Me, woman. We both Republican and lame. So there you go. And then on the back, because Tim tore this right out of the Mercury, on the back is... Ariel, looking to build a regular clientele. Call now. Upscale inquiries only. And it's like some... it's like some... some
so half the train is turned around, trying to see what the tearing noise is.
So half the people on the train think that you're trying to hook up with this woman at the Christian bookstore. The other half thinking that you're going to call some skis for a rubdown. So, good time. You're building your ref one day at a time, Tim Riley.
Here's this other thing. Add inches to your waistline, a safe and easy way to temporarily stretch your jeans, skirts, slacks, or shorts. What you do is you dampen, or even wash, heaven forbid, the garment, insert the Inchmaster, and extend to the desired size.
Inchmaster.
The garment retains the new size while it dries.
Inchmasters.
But in it, the best part is, it works for waist sizes up to 50 inches. 50 inches.
That's insane. An Inchmaster sounds like some sort of adult product, some sort of marital aid one might use, or perhaps like a midget porn star.
Well, here's the grossest one of all. Loosen snug pants, skirts, or shorts. Expand your waistband and breathe easier. Apparently, this is like this big Band-Aid that you put in the fly area. Now, who would be walking around town with this, trying to expand their waistline? That's someone who already had that piece of pie.
have a whole pie.
So it looks like you're wearing a front diaper.
Yes.
Without your pants buttoned.
These are people who had that extra piece of pie.
Have another pie and a side of beef.
This is to be worn underneath
a
long shirt or sweater.
Oh, God. So now you've got a...
There's no free show involved here.
Let me describe this product that Tim is describing in this Provo catalog. What is the name of the catalog?
This is the Home Trends.
Home Trends.
Your home care experts.
So here's the thing about that. So here's the catalog that Tim is describing. It is this catalog for people in Utah and trashy people everywhere. The product he's describing, it's like if you're just too goddamn fat to button or even zip your pants.
Mm-hmm.
But you still want to wear them, which implies that you're both fat and either poor or just cheap. It is a thing to shield your genitals from being seen or your underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like a doily that you shove down the front of your pants. Because
it's very decorative.
Because think about it. If you just unbutton your pants and your zip, you've got a big V there, where you've got a big V of just exposed area, and so it's like a napkin that you shove down the front of your pants that shields us from having to see your front butt.
And off you go to the Bible section of the Christian bookstore
in your hot sweater.
Yeah.
And then the best part, though, is that then you have to wear an extra long sweater to cover it.
Yeah.
You have to wear some sort of a tarp over the front of you to cover your shame and your hideousness. Oh, that's fantastic. Excellent. Have another can of Little Smokies. All right, here's... I don't even know what we're doing. It's 503...
Well, this is much too amusing.
733-2970.
733-2970. A mini facelift in a box for $18.95.
Well, who has a mini face to lift?
Well, recapture your youthful appearance without surgery, messy lotions, or facial exercises. These are called frownies. They dramatically reduce frown lines and wrinkles by retaining facial muscles to regain their strength. No chemicals or peels needed.
Thank God Almighty for that.
There are 114 pieces per pack, and these are miniature Band-Aids that you put all over your face.
I don't understand. A miniature facelift in a... This is just Scotch tape.
They look like Band-Aids.
That's all this is. This is just big pieces of adhesive you put on your face. That's genius. Oh, man. Oh, speaking of which, what's wrong with Beyonce Knowles' head? Have you seen her face? It's all
scrunchy?
His skin is all skinched up?
Yeah, it's from her wig.
That's no good.
Oh, that's stupid.
If you're rich and can't buy a better wig than that, all right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, to the surprise of no one, rock star Supernova fails to impress in its Las Vegas opening. The reality TV show is over for rock star Supernova. But it's just the reality of turning a made-for-TV group into a real rock and roll band. And judging from the foursome's opening show on New Year's Eve, there's plenty of work left to do. Led by Toronto singer Lucas Rossi, Supernova delivered a wildly uneven show before some 2,000 at the Joint at the Hard Rock Cafe and Casino.
It's funny how I just completely forgotten that group even existed.
Mm-hmm. Supernova charged through the show like a car on its last legs, occasionally speeding, only to lose power and fall back. It was one step forward, two back for the 80-minute, 13-song performance that started at 11:20 p.m. after performance by the opening act Luna Halo.
Imagine having to sit through 13 songs by that band.
The band's musical hiccups weren't helped by a sophomoric Girls Gone Wild mentality throughout the show, with Tommy Lee digging into the Motley Crue vault. For the... Oh, I can't even say that word. Oh, it's something about bosoms cam.
Oh, a bosom...
Bosom cam.
Boob cam.
To encourage women in the audience to bare their bosoms with the big screen.
Oh, because that sounds like a really rip-roaring New Year's Eve.
Yeah, seriously.
Why don't I come and watch a show and expose my breasts to you?
I'm going to go show my breasts to Lucas Rossi.
Well, it's a good thing. Can you imagine if he asked Storm Large to do such a thing?
Seriously, I can't.
In a program?
How lucky really is she that she's not chained to the hideous albatross of a band? What do you do? I'm going to go show my private genitals to Gilby Clark. Look at this. Did you see this thing? Did you see this add inches to your waistband thing that basically is like, it's a huge wedge that you use to stretch your pants out?
Yeah, that's the one we already had.
Oh, Jesus. The inch. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the inch master.
Yeah, that's the inch master.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this thing. I thought you were talking about the waist bandit.
Oh, no, I haven't done the waist bandit yet.
The waist bandit attaches to. Will adjust your. The waist bandit is ideal for when your weight fluctuates. Band attaches to your waist band in one of five positions. Good God Almighty.
All right. Let's do one more here and we'll take a break. Well, let's see what we have here. O.J. Simpson's ill-fated homicidal fantasy, If I Did It, may yet see the light of day. One of the major publishing fiascos of 2006, the volume was abruptly pulled by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation right before it was due to land on the store shelves in November, the victim of widespread public outrage, but the title itself, like a bad penny, may resurface before the end of 2007. With the exception of some copies pilfering from warehouses, the entire 400,000 print run, If I Did It, in which Simpson hypothesized how he would kill his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman, were slated to be destroyed. As with most celebrity tell-all tales, however, Simpson's right to the material was eventually reverted back to him. Though the exact contractual language has not yet been made public, a close source to Simpson tells Time that O.J. gets certain rights, returning 12 months after the original publication date, which means he could be in a position to resell his book by next Christmas.
Fantastic. Order it now, kids. Let's quickly get Colin. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I ask you, what is more lame, the guy who writes the article or writes the letter to the article column, I saw you something 14 weeks ago, or the person scanning randomly through the article hoping somebody saw him at all?
That's the thing. I mean, that's, by definition, it seems like the only people who ever read those I saw you columns are people who are not really interested in having been seen. They're just reading them for amusement. I mean, by definition, it just seems depressing. It's just like such a long shot.
for this to work, it would have to be mandatory legal that everybody read this thing every day.
Really, that's, you're right. I mean, it would be, yeah, it would be required by law that everyone, all citizens may begin their glorious day by scanning the I Saw You column in the Portland Mercury.
Personally, I like the idea.
Yeah, also the Wild Encounters ads in the Willamette, which is, the Wild Encounters ads in the Willamette, I don't even know if those exist anymore. Those may have been supplanted by the intranets. But the Wild Encounters ads in the Willamette are always great, because it's always like, ugly guy seeks two hot, big-boobed women to come make mad love to me. Must be sisters, you know, and it's just like guys writing these weird, insane, delusional fantasies to themselves, you know, and so, yeah. All right, there you go. All right, thank you, sir. There you go, sir. Colin. All right, we should take a break here. Coming up, Dick Giuliano will talk to us about the most boring funeral of all, which is that of Gerald Ford.
I don't know. I like the chicken head story.
There really is some skit there in the making of the body just repeatedly falling out of the coffin.
Like the Ayatollah?
Seriously. I think random gunfire into the air would liven up all funerals. That's what's going to happen when Rick Emerson is president. All funerals will be marked by the sporadic firing of AK-47s into the air for no real reason. And because we're still playing catch-up from last year, we'll come back. We'll talk to Dick Giuliano. More news from Tim Riley. And later on, Jim Roop. And we'll talk about the most depressing holiday season ever. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.